Good morning, everyone, on this November the 12th. As the MCC button says, to remember is to work for peace. I hope everybody remembered that. If you look in your bulletins, there's a very full week again. If you look at Week at a Glance, lots of activities going on. So check that out for anything that's pertaining to you. And there are certainly a few community news announcements. One announcement I was asked to highlight is there's a Christmas bus tour. That sounds like a great event. Have a look at the Christmas lights and have supper at Betty's on Wednesday, November the 29th. See Elaine Reimer, Ann Hebert, or Anna Ladner. And they need at least 50 people to make this go. So if you want to have a carefree, relaxing time watching or going to look at the Christmas lights, that's the thing for you. The call to worship today is from Psalm 78, verses 1 to 7. O my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things, things from old. What we have heard and known, what our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our forefathers to teach their children. So the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, it seems that every time we turn on the news, there is more turmoil in the world. We know that sin is everywhere and the world will not be at total peace until your return again. Nevertheless, we ask that your mercy intervenes in the word to bring peace. Help us to find more ways to love our neighbors and show the world your goodness. Be with us this morning as we listen to your word. Be with us this week as we go about our daily lives. Help us to remember you in everything we do. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Are there any children that would like to help us with the music this morning? Come on up.
Elf, would you like to conduct the
Welcome, everybody. If you are able, you can stand to our first worship in song, which is Holy, Holy, Lord God Almighty. And that's number 5 in your hymnal, singing verses 1, 3, and 4.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, the children can come on forward for the children's story. Good morning. Good morning. How are we doing today? Good. Good. Well, listen, I have something. I have a secret to tell you guys. Can you keep a secret? Yeah? Okay. So next week, it's my dad's birthday. Okay, so I really hope he's not listening right now, but keep it a secret. Okay, so it's his birthday, and I want to do something special for him. I'm trying to figure out what I can do to celebrate my dad's big day with him. Do any of you have any good ideas? What could I do for my dad's birthday? Yeah, Evelyn? A pinata? I think he would like that. That's a good idea. Okay, yeah? Cake? That's always good. Yeah, he likes cake. Any other ideas? What could I do for my dad's birthday? Yeah, Mason? A birthday present? Okay. Stephanie? Just spend time. That's a good answer. Spend time with him. Yeah. I like that. Yeah? A vacation? How much money do you think I have? Can I afford to take him on vacation? It's a nice idea, though. I like it. Okay, that's good. Those Those are great ideas, though. I'm going to have to make some notes so I don't forget them. It is easy to forget great ideas sometimes, right? Or to get really busy with other stuff, and then suddenly the birthday's here, and I haven't done anything yet. But my dad, he's so good to me, I want to do some nice things for him so that he knows that I love him. This can happen with God sometimes, too. Sometimes we get so excited or busy with our own plans and activities, we forget to stop and show how much we love him and appreciate him and spend time with God, right? We've been learning about Nehemiah in the Bible over the last couple of weeks. He's been working to rebuild a ruined city. And all along the way, God has been with Nehemiah and the people. He's been protecting them. He's been guiding them and blessing them. And when they finished the city, I'm going to read from my Bible. Listen to what they did when the city was finally complete. It says, Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, Amen, Amen. Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And then we'll go a little bit further. Nehemiah said, Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. That sounds like a pretty awesome party, right? They were praising God. They had food and drinks for everybody. It's such a good reminder to all of us that we need to remember to celebrate God, and not just on special days, but every day, right? So let's pray together. Dear God, we just thank you so much that you love us and that you guide us in all that we do. Help us to remember to spend time with you and to show how much we love you. We pray this in your name. Amen. Okay, thanks, guys.
As we move along towards the time of sharing joys and concerns, we do this because we have the confidence that Jesus will never say no. So we begin by singing, Come, bring your burdens to God. Is going to share a song that is a concern, a burden. Ron already set the scene nicely, saying that remembering is to work for peace. The choir is going to share a song, a concern, that everyone in the world shares, and the title is If the War Goes On. It was written by John Bell of Iona, Scotland, in the context of the Iraq War, but I think is applicable today. And we've paired this song together with a prayer that affirms that your word alone can save us. Make us, that is your church gathered today, gathered around the world, make us your living word.
We'll now have our time for sharing our joys and concerns. I think I have it right this time. There we are. If you have any concerns or joys to share, please raise your hand and we'll have the microphone make its way to you.
Good morning. December is coming closer, and on December 5th, we have our traditional seniors' Christmas banquet. It will be in the bulletin later, but we want to announce something before. It will be the traditional meal. And if people don't want to drive in the evening, maybe they can find a friend or one from the children that can bring them, and the driver can stay for the meal and the program also. So we will have a pastor that will report from a mission work where he worked for years, and a choir will sing. And there's another thing, we need cookies. We need quite a few cookies for coffee time later on after the program. And the ladies, they buy the cookies, bring some to the people that can't come for the services anymore. So that's a long-term care and other people that stay home. So if volunteers to bake cookies, they can start already. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. I also need cookies for the pastoral staff meeting. That consists entirely of myself, but yes.
We buried my uncle Franz Stuck yesterday at Tolman's, and I was amazed and grateful. How many people from our church showed up? I couldn't believe it, how many. It was almost full. So I want to extend a heartfelt thanks to everyone that came here to to everybody that remembers my Uncle Franz Dick. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll pass along greetings from Laura Berg. If you are able to get out to visit her in Port Colborne, she'd greatly appreciate those visits, but recognizes that it is quite a ways out to get there. But she was in good spirits and hoping to have her rehabilitation go well. Okay. I'm getting a note that you can call Sandra ahead of time if you're going to go visit Laura, so we don't get too many visitors all at once. Though I would say from Laura's perspective, what she told me, I don't think she'd mind if there were more. Don't let that keep you, is what. All right, friends. Well, let's pray together. At the end of me leading us in prayer, I'll also lead us in doing the Lord's Prayer. We will have the words on the screen, but you're welcome to do whatever version of the Lord's Prayer in whatever language is most comfortable for you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are good. We thank you that you not only hear your people, but you hear our needs even before we can express them in words. That you hear the needs of the lowly, of the hurting, of the dying, the sick, those trapped in warfare, those trapped engaging in warfare. Lord, have mercy. As we pray, Lord, for the peace in this world, we pray that you would move more hearts of our leaders away from violence, that you would open the eyes of soldiers to start to see the people that they are firing upon as those made in your image, as brothers and sisters meant to be loved. We pray, Lord, that your love would so encompass this world that we would start to see those who are being oppressed set free from being oppressed, that we would be able to see those who are oppressors being set free of being oppressors. Lord, guide our hands, guide our hearts. In all things, Lord, we trust that it is you who is in control. Help us to continue to trust. Help us to continue to see you move in our midst. Lord, as we continue to give our tithes and offerings to you, we recognize that everything we have is yours. Continue to take what we have to give and use it to advance your kingdom in word and in deed. And friends, I invite you to pray the prayer Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Today's scripture reading comes from Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 1 to 12. When the seventh month came and the Israelites had settled in their towns, all the people assembled as one man in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra the scribe to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men, women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra the scribe stood on a high wooden platform built for the occasion. Beside him on his right stood Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Messiah, and on his left were Padiah, Mishael, Malchiah, Hashem, Hashbadonah, Zechariah, and Meshullam. Ezra opened the book, all the people who could see him because he was standing above them, and as he opened it, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, Amen, Amen. Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. The Levites, Jeshua, Benai, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akab, Shabbathiah, Hodiah, Messiah, Kalita, Azariah, Josabad, Hanan, and Peliah, instructed the people in the law while the people were standing there. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people could understand what was being read. Then Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, This day is sacred to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The Levites calmed all the people, saying, Be still, for this is a sacred day. Do not grieve. Then all the people went away to eat and drink, to send portions of food, and to celebrate with great joy, because they now understood the words that had been made known to them.
So, when I was a pastor in Nebraska, one of the things that I would do is I would print off the Bible readings ahead of time in very big letters, depending on who was going to be our
hearer. There we are. Sorry about that. So I would print off the Bible readings each week. And I did this all through, I've preached through Nehemiah before. And what I would sometimes do is I would put just these ellipses to skip over all of the names. And so it occurs to me that while I use the NRSV there, here we use the NIV, and I love the image of people reading from their Bibles, but that means poor Megan read all of those names. And you did very well. And as you were reading them, I remembered, I remember how I got around that last time. So don't worry, I won't be saying any of those names. They'll be represented by ellipses from here on. Today we're going to talk about celebrating God, what it means to celebrate. And part of celebrating God in this passage will lead us to a couple of questions which maybe don't seem completely attached at first, but as we look through it, I think we'll see more and more why these are appropriate. And the first question is, what is church? Imagine if someone asked you that, who knew nothing about church. How do we answer? Where do we begin? Well, that's weird. Well, then why do you gather together on Sunday mornings? Why do we do this? Why are we here? Some questions to ponder. Some biblical background, and I go through this each week because I don't assume that everyone is here every week. But by the end of our time through Nehemiah, which we're getting to closely, don't worry, you will all be experts at knowing exactly what happened. So some Bible background here. Starting from the beginning, we have God's chosen people who have escaped and been delivered out of slavery with a purpose, to be a light to the nations. But this group ends up being unfaithful as a community. And so God allows them to be sent into exile as the Babylonian Empire takes over, burns down Jerusalem, and carries people off to a foreign land. But while they are there, they continue to have this hope that they can be faithful, that they'll be able to return home, that God will be good as God has promised to return them, that they'll go back so that they can be a light to the nations again.
Then we see the Persian Empire come into play, and things turn out a little bit better for God's people under the Persian rule. And that's where we come to the books of Ezra and Nehemiah. These end up being the same book, though we have them separate in our Bibles. And today, for the first time, we have Ezra coming out of the shadows to make an appearance. So that's kind of fun. This is all starting around the year 445, before Common Era, before Jesus appears. And we have this person, Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a high-ranking official. He would have been almost like royalty, but serving the king of Babylon. And as he serves, he finds opportunity to restore some of that hope. He prays, he plans, and then he acts so that they can go back and faithfully rebuild his home, Jerusalem. This home that he's never even been to before. And he gathers people together. They work together to rebuild the wall. And now we're at the place where they've actually finished building the wall. And that brings us to Nehemiah chapter 7. Now, we didn't read through all of Nehemiah chapter 7, so the really quick version is, now that the walls are being rebuilt or have been rebuilt, Nehemiah recognizes that it's not just about rebuilding walls. It's about rebuilding the community. So he needs people to come back and to rebuild houses, to start to live there. Having walls won't help if there's no one on the inside. So he's inviting people, going out, recruiting people to live there again. And we see many people who had been living outside of the city now start to move back within the city walls. And that brings us to Nehemiah 8. Nehemiah 8, which will give us this starting point. It says, when the seventh month came. This is helpful for those who are really, really paying attention, reading the whole thing. This is showing that this is just a few days after the wall has been completed. So this was planned in advance. Nehemiah has been working towards this as well. Not just finishing the wall, but this moment where he's invited people to come in. And then now, this moment, when the seventh month came, the people of Israel being settled in their towns. All the people gathered together. They told the scribe Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses. That would be the first five books that we have in our Old Testaments, which the Lord had given to Israel. Accordingly, the priest Ezra brought the law before the assembly, both men and women and all who could hear with understanding. This was the first day of the seventh month. He read from it from early morning until midday. Just as a reminder, no matter how long my message goes this morning, it'll probably be shorter than that. But I have biblical precedent to keep you here for a while. In the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people. And when he opened it, the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, "Amen, amen," lifting up their hands. Then they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. The Levites helped the people to understand the law while the people remained in their places. So they read from the book, from the law of God, with interpretation. They gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. Quick note here, the law, the Old Testament, is written in Hebrew. These people don't know Hebrew, even though that is the language of their ancestors. So it has to be, it's being read to them, but most of them don't understand it. So it has to be translated and interpreted so that it makes sense in the language that they speak, or the languages they speak. And Nehemiah, who was governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions of them to those whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord, and do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, "Be quiet, for this day is holy. Do not be grieved." And all the people went their way to eat and drink and to send portions and to make great rejoicing, because they had understood the words that were declared to them. This is Nehemiah chapter 8, skipping through all of the difficult names. So what do we do when rebuilding the wall? This was the goal of Nehemiah all throughout, and now that is done. But what we see is that his goal of rebuilding a wall wasn't just about a wall. It was about rebuilding a people. Not just rebuilding a city, but the people itself gathering together and being prepared to have this moment where they all gather and hear the word together. And note that it's not just the older folks. It's anyone who could understand. It is any child who is able to not run up to the front and fall along the way like my children always do. It's meant for everyone to be able to participate. In all ages gathering, all people gathering together, and they hear, they listen to Scripture being read, the law, those first five books. And it's a reminder that even way, way back then, there still needed to be interpretation. They were already very far from the original times where the Bible was written, so how could we understand it in our new time? What does this mean for us? They're asking. And so it's being interpreted so they can understand. And then they worship together, prayerfully, celebrating God as a community, as this fellowship. Fellowship is kind of a strange word. It includes the idea of doing things together, but it's also doing things together with a purpose. And that's what they're doing, and they're having a good time doing it. They're going to celebrate. They're going to have a great party. I don't know if borscht was served, but if it was, there was lots. And it was taken to your neighbors. This fellowship includes caring for those who weren't able to make it. Even if they're not able to come or they don't have enough, make sure you make enough and take it to them so they can celebrate too. We see the trouble for us is that gathering can be hard. We talk about gathering at least on Sunday mornings or through the weeks. Other bits, we're so busy. How could we find time to gather? And do I have to gather with those people who think differently than me? Now the answer is mostly no. We'll just start a new church across the street and then another until it's only the same. It's not this gathering of people centered on God as much anymore. Much more centered on ourselves. How do we gather? And then Scripture. We like to look to Scripture. I hope that you see as we go through Scripture together that I find the Bible to be incredibly important and valuable and fun to look through. And we'll go through large parts of passages, but sometimes it doesn't always make sense. Sometimes we get stuck in all of those names. Next week, if you're being asked to read and you're looking ahead, know that we will skip all of the names. This whole chapters of names. What do we do with that? How do we understand? Which scripture is more important than others? And what does it mean to worship? Does that mean we get to sing the songs that I want to sing? Does that mean just singing? What is this worship we're supposed to do together? Together? Fellowship? Having that time to enjoy life together, apart from this worship ceremony that they're having, they are celebrating and they are in each other's lives and homes and caring for people all over. And now it's just so hard to even have any free time. Saturday, I had just had my shots, so now I am no longer a feral animal. No, I was able to get my COVID shots and my flu shot, and Saturday morning I didn't feel good, so I could just sleep, and that was glorious to have time to do that when you have children. But I rarely have that time. How can we have time to fellowship, to be in each other's lives when we're already so busy? But I see a lot of hope in this passage as well.
And our hope in this passage also points forward to the hope we have in Jesus. That it is in Jesus that we see what it means to gather. That Jesus is the one who gathers people from all kinds of backgrounds, from all kinds of experience, from all kinds of expectations, and brings them together to be a community following together. That in Jesus, we get clarity in Scripture. The Scripture that was very important to Jesus that he goes and will live out. Clarity in Scripture that sometimes we're not sure what this says or this says, so we look through the lens of Jesus to better understand what the love of God looks like in each of those passages for us today. And as we see worship, we see worship as something that isn't just the songs we sing, that isn't just a few times we gather together, but it is a lifestyle of celebration. This lifestyle of celebration that goes over to our neighbors and brings them the extra food. That we make extra food so that our neighbors have it. That we make those extra cookies because Pastor Tim might not have been joking earlier. This worship is more than just singing. It is the celebrating and enjoying of God. We are a people who are made to celebrate something in fellowship. That fellowship, as we talk about, we don't just gather, but we fellowship together. We work and we are guided together with Jesus at the center. And Jesus shows us what that looks like. I particularly love looking at the disciples that Jesus has gathered because we don't always get a sense of what everyone is like, but we know what the disciples are like, and they are all very, very different. They very much would look at the world politically very differently as well. But as they gathered around Jesus, they were able to put aside their differences because what was similar to them was more important. And what was similar to them was Jesus more than anything. So what will this mean for us today? That question that they were asking in Nehemiah's time too. Well, I asked you the question earlier, what is church? Is church a tradition? No. A building, even a nice building like ours? No. Is church a Sunday activity? No. Church is a people. That is what we are seeing happen here in Nehemiah. They are gathering together to be their version of church. Gathering together, celebrating together. That means church is you. We are the church together. So why do we gather together on Sunday mornings? Didn't Pastor Tim just put a big X on a Sunday activity with church? Well, we gather together to celebrate. We gather together to be a people of celebration together. This gathered community. The moments recognizing that through the week we are not together all the time, but now we will gather together so that we can be shaped by Scripture as we read it together, so that we can read together and understand together and even learn together. It's not just one person and their Bible. It is a community prayerfully being guided by the Holy Spirit to learn amongst ourselves. It is to learn amongst ourselves so that Scripture helps us to better follow Jesus in our lives. Because people are formed by worship, by what we worship, by what we value. If you worship wealth and money and power, that will change the trajectory of your life. If you worship that humble Messiah who will die even for his enemies, that will form you in the way that you go out and live. We're formed as we worship together. That's more than just the songs we sing and the Scripture we read. It's this gathering together prayerfully and then living it out together as this fellowship of friends. For those who know the image here, this is from the Fellowship of the Ring. It is all of these people from a variety of backgrounds, from a variety of stranger than ethnicity. They're different races entirely, different creatures.
but they gather together and for a purpose, for a hope, to bring hope to the world, to defeat evil, so much so that they will stay together and work together in spite of their differences. That's how they become this fellowship of friends. We don't become community by talking about community. We become the community of God by following Jesus together in our actions. So when we look to Nehemiah and what Nehemiah was doing in this passage, Nehemiah, who only shows up a little bit here and there as part of a bit player on this whole thing going on, we see that he has shown the people that there's value in rebuilding the walls. But not just rebuilding the walls. While they were building the walls together, they were starting to be rebuilt as a people. As they did this new thing to bring back the old in a new way, as they did this thing, they were being rebuilt as a community, sharing those experiences together, and then now worshiping together as a community, celebrating this thing. Because remember what we were talking about. In exile, there was this hope that they'd be able to return home, not just to rebuild walls, but to be a light to the nations, to be this example pointing others to God. And that is what they're hoping for now. So what does that mean? Well, that means we'll gather together and worship because we have to keep the most important thing the most important thing. And that is God at the center of everything, even the center of building and rebuilding our walls. And it's similar like that for us. The Bible will talk about us living as exiles or foreigners in a foreign land. And that is our hope, that we're able to live here in the world, not of the world, as exiles, as the light of the world. Living out that same promise as of God's people. So Sunday morning, as we gather together, it's meant to be this celebration, this time of worship, this time of being shaped by scriptures, so that as we go out into the world through the rest of the week and come back and interact with each other and we'll play in and out of that, that Sunday ends up as this great time of refueling us. We are refueled again so that the fire inside can continue to burn all through the world and show them the light, show them the love. That Sunday morning worship is just a starting point to go into worship in the service of other people all through the world. That we're not called just to be gathered, but we're called to gather and go and be the light wherever we are. This term that has been used with more frequency now, I like it. It's called missional, to be a missional community. And all that word means is to be a community that does what Jesus asks of us. That Jesus has gathered us as a community with a purpose, with a mission to partner with him, to partner with God to bring about his goodness and life and love to everyone. So we gather so that we can be sent, so that we can go and love others like Jesus has already loved us. So that we can go out and follow Jesus together throughout our neighborhoods. That intersection point of our prayers, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, being able to be lived out throughout the week. And friends, we are not sent out to do these things on our own. We don't just go out, even as a community, we don't go out on our own power. We go out under the power that Jesus is already there, that the Holy Spirit is moving in us. That has been the hope of the church for thousands of years, that we are fueled by the power of the Holy Spirit because Jesus is already King. And as we go out and follow Jesus together, we get to see that new life sprout up all around us in surprising new ways. We get to be this community, this church, this people who gather, who get to be shaped as we wrestle with Scripture, who get to be reformed as we worship both here on Sunday morning and all through the week, to be this fellowship working together with a goal, the goal to embody the mission of Jesus as we go and we love other people and we invite them to participate alongside us. That is what we see going on in Nehemiah. That is what it means to celebrate God, to worship God. More than just a song, it is our lives sung out together, both here and then throughout the world, and inviting others to sing along. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you are good. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to put that fire in our hearts, that you would remind us again that we are your people, that you love us dearly, that you love our neighbors dearly. Give us opportunities this week to share the celebration of you with others, to invite others to participate in this new life, to invite others to experience the goodness, that life-changing love that you only can give. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand for our benediction song. To God be the glory.
Receive the blessing. May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storms. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. Go in God's peace. Amen.